The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is what I want to say to you. I don't want to dwell on it. I just need to speak it to you. This is something that I have known for years and should have known for years, but I cannot believe how criminally uninteresting Kourtney Kardashian is. Like,
I have no idea where this was going.
My friend, I won't say she forced me to watch it, but she was watching
the Kardashians,
the episode of just the wedding, which I guess is, I don't know if it's its own series or if it's part of the Kardashian.
I've not been keeping up, so I don't know.
I see what you did there, Chris. You have not been keeping up with the Kardashians. I watched this wedding episode and no one at this wedding looked like they wanted to be there, including the bride and the groom.
Because they didn't.
Nobody. It was, they have now, you know, I love wealth. I love camp. I love anything garish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've entered a level of wealth that is now
not fun anymore.
No, it's vulgar. It's like Trump in the late 80s wealthy, where it's just like, we fucking get it. I don't know. The only person that looked like they were having a good time, because I will say one positive thing, is Travis Barker's adorable son, Landon. He was dressed in a fierce suit and he gave a very heartfelt speech. He wanted to be there. Everyone else was just like, where's the plane? This wedding cost so much money. It made me, I was in pain watching it.
The critique forever has been that Kourtney is so boring and no one cares about her. Like forever.
You're just a hater. I'm jealous and bitter. Who wouldn't want to spend that much money on something as stupid as your wedding day? all weddings are too expensive. A marriage license is too expensive.
Yeah. You're anyway. Not the first person to say this to me. And
it's just occurring to me now. I'm giving you my reactions to things that happened in 2009. That's what I bring to the table.
They used to be so funny. Like, I used to love that show so much when it was like back in the day. And then they became too famous, and you can't really have a reality show about like the most famous people in a country. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just about them being the most famous people in a country. And that to me is not fun.
I think Kim is great. I think Kim is genuinely and naturally brilliant and funny. I do. And I think that I would just watch something about her. I don't hate the rest of her family, but
really? That's strange.
I do. I don't know. I just think she's so funny. I think she just has, she's been in on the joke forever.
Chloe used to be so fun. Chloe and Chris together was the best thing ever. Like Chloe, like remember when Chris was smoking cigarettes and they poured water on her head? Like legendary television.
I'm not like a regular viewer of the.
No, I used to be obsessed with it in college, but this is like back in the day, like in the old house. Like way, like three houses ago, like they were so good. But now that's just, they're too famous and they're too rich. It's not fun anymore.
No. All right. Enough about that. Let's get to the really, the Speaking most of- important issue of our time of the year is Chris DeRosa's 33rd birthday bash this past Saturday evening at RPM Underground Karaoke Bar in, wait for it, Times Square,
yeah, basically New York like Times Square. City. It's on the same block as 54 Below. So
a famed cabaret space.
Yes. The thing that's funny is that it never occurred to me that it was in Times Square, but it really is in Times Square.
It is. Oh, it certainly is. And I mean, it's good. Look, as New Yorkers, I think it's good to twirl through Times Square once a year as a reminder why you're not there the other 364 days.
And you got to do that on Saturday.
I did. And it was also not in the Times Square-iest part of Times Square because it is on 54th Street. So you're sort of north of most of the lunacy. We had no problem getting an Uber on the way home. I will say that the morning of the party, my husband was looking at the invitation and looking at the website for the venue and said, did you know that this was a karaoke bar? And I didn't until he told me that. It did not change my desire to go, but I could see the look on his face of,
where he was
am I going to feign a strange illness tonight at 7:45?
I have to listen to Chris sing weird songs for like 4 hours.
You know, that's only, first of all, the party was hilarious. And as regular listeners will know, you and I have not known each other very long. So we're sort of meeting each other's friends and families through like this first 6 month period that we're doing the podcast together. And your friends are all so fun and funny.
Oh,
well, and
that's nice of you to say.
Chill. No, they're exactly the type of people that I would expect you to be friends with. They're all just like delightful lunatics, really. I mean, they're all great. Not a single one of them shy about singing karaoke. Now, I am a performer, I'm a comic, and I walk into a karaoke place and I'm like, I need like 45 minutes to sort of read the room. What's the mood? What song am I picking? But all your friends were like fighting to sing first and
like sing songs that they had no business singing. Like, that's the other thing, is that we don't care if it's like bad. Like, we could care less.
Some of them were good. Some of them were very good. I, of course, elected to sing as my only performance of the night, My Neck, My Back
with Tom Chacho.
Yes, I did duet. That song is not originally a duet. My friend Tom Chacho, who's been on the show.
Yes.
We made it a duet and a beautiful one. I think that we brought
it was beautiful.
I think we brought notes out from the lyrics that many people hadn't heard before. And I think everyone that was in the room when we were singing it now has a new appreciation for Kaya's work.
Well, and know that everyone... You're such an idiot. One thing that happened.
Oh, God.
One very important thing is that my friends, Michael and Evan, the couple that got married in Italy, were there. You got to meet them.
Yes.
And I said, Dominic, this is Evan. He's the groom that I was drinking Long Island iced teas with. and you berated him verbally.
Right.
And then we laughed. And I like gave him the wink, and he went out to the bar and bought us two Long Island iced teas that we then split into four cups. So we each had half a Long Island iced tea. And then I forced you to drink half of a Long Island iced tea and took photos of you, which we will post on our Instagram page. And how did you feel about that?
It was vile. I mean, it was as vile as I remember from my last Long Island iced tea, which I drank when you were one year old.
Yes, or
you
zero.
Were 1 year old. You were technically 0 years old when I drank this Long Island iced tea. Yeah. This was my first Long Island iced tea of your lifetime, Chris.
Yes,
basically.
Correct.
And it was as foul as I remember. I mean, there's no way to make a Long Island iced tea taste good with the current ingredients.
Is why I think that our Long Island iced tea is going to be a fix of the Long Island iced tea. I think that's what's going to happen.
All I'm going to say, there's no spoiler alert here. I don't know if I've mentioned this before on this podcast, but an actual tea company heard the Long Island iced tea episode and has reached out to me. And we are speaking with them about whether or not there will be a Fixing Famous People Long Island iced tea. I mean, this podcast just gets stranger and stranger with each week.
Okay,
I don't know. The strangest people are listening to it and reaching out and saying, please put your name on this. And for the record, if you give me $1, I will put my name on anything. I mean, not a swastika or anything like that, but anything that's not offensive to people, we'll put Fixing Famous People on it. So please DM us.
The internet caught on fire when we talked about Long Island iced teas. True. When you told your Long Island iced tea story, people like truly went off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple people have reached out. Multiple people that will be guests on this show have reached out saying, I have a Long Island iced tea story. So when I come on the podcast, can I tell it? And I said, absolutely.
Sure. It's going to be a cornerstone of the entire podcast 100%. Eventually. It's going to be like the Long Island iced tea corner, because a clitoral Long Island iced tea would be spelled CLIIT or just clit, and we'll probably just call it Clit Corner, and people will come and tell their Long Island iced tea stories. I'm sure my mother's gonna love the previous 15 seconds.
Okay, so this hits our DM inbox. Hi, listening to your Long Island iced tea episode, oh my god, laughing so hard, thank you very much. My sister doesn't drink around her husband. In parentheses, he's a former alcoholic. We went out, just her and I, to a bar/restaurant, and she put, out of the freaking blue, orders a Long Island iced tea. It was like a movie where the DJ scratches the record and everyone in the room snaps their head to look at the person who just said that out loud. The bartender slowly looks up and down and says loudly, the 80s called and they want their drink back. I'll make you something better. So then she says that she can just make it an LA water. I was so embarrassed and also laughing so hard.
Wow.
How fucking funny is that?
I mean, he's not wrong, but my guess is that the bartender just didn't want to make it because it's a fucking pain in the ass to make.
Yes.
Because it's got 11 ingredients and a splash of Coke.
But also slam. Like the 80s called, they went there. Like, that's a textbook slam.
That's a pretty good one. And my last one was in the 90s. So I too was out of touch when I drank my Long Island iced tea that night.
And
is there more?
There's another really good one. This is not so much about Long Island iced teas, but it's about someone in the front row of a theater.
If this is a person that was there the night I saw Grace,
I wish. Okay, are you ready? You're not ready for this.
I can't. Go ahead.
Okay. Just listen to your Long Island iced tea podcast, which was hysterical. Again, thank you so much. Dom, regarding your Grapes of Wrath story, I have a similar thing that happened to my mom about a million years ago. She was seeing a play called Slave Ship. You can pretty much tell what it was about and the entire
I'm already done with this story. I'm already done with it. I'm uncomfortable. I'm laughing when I know that I shouldn't be. And I feel like I'm going to poop my pants. Please go on.
You can pretty much tell what it was about. And the entire play was on a ship in a circle in the square-esque theater. So my mom was in the front row and there was a rape scene like right in front of my mom.
Jesus,
and she got so upset that she actually grabbed the actress's hand during it and said, "It's going to be okay."
Oh, my God.
A theater worker came over and said, "Please don't touch the actors, ma'am." The only reason she wasn't kicked out was because my dad was the producer and he said she couldn't come to his plays anymore.
Oh, my God. That is... I have so many questions about it. So her husband was one of the producers and she didn't know that there was this violent scene in it?
I don't know.
Wow.
And again, like, we're not laughing about rape. We're laughing that this woman interrupted a piece of art to tell, to like console the actor.
So I mean, the first question I have, and it's sort of a rhetorical question, but to whoever wrote it, your mother was at least as drunk as I was that night, right?
Assuming yes.
I mean, had to be. That's fantastic. I'm gonna find out who the actress was in Slave Ship. I'm gonna come back next week and be like, find that person because his mother grabbed the hand of Elizabeth Perkins. It's gonna be someone famous.
Stop.
It's got to be.
How insane is that?
That is a great fucking story.
Beyond. The Long Island Iced Tea episode, which we were like, is anyone going to like this, is just jumping off the pages.
It's merch. I'm going to be mentioning it pretty regularly now when I perform. I'm just going to be talking about Long Island Iced Teas. I'll probably have a Long Island Iced Tea special my holiday shows because
at your holiday
when you
show,
think Christmas, you,
should.
You think no, Long Island Iced Tea.
You honestly should. A Christmas Long Island Iced Tea.
Yep. Instead of splash of Coke, it'll be eggnog. I'm going to throw up. I regret saying that.
That sounds disgusting.
If you're in your car, I apologize that you just threw up on your steering wheel. It is my fault. Please send the bill to Chris DeRosa Productions.
Dear God. So needless to say, the Long Island Iced Tea slash like people like being abhorrent in theaters stories are pouring right in.
Yeah, I love when people write in when they hear about stuff. Please give us your Long Island Iced Tea stories. Please give us your people being inappropriate, specifically at Broadway theaters, the show, because it's different than a movie theater. I want to hear your funny, cringy stories like the one we just heard. I don't want to hear about someone stood up and said, "This fucking sucks," and the actors had to yell back at them. Those just make me depressed about humanity. I just want to know about other lunatics doing lunatic behavior in public.
Yeah, when people get in the splash zone and then they start screaming like a woman and then people don't think that they're...
You mean the story I told? Oh my God, yeah. I was just like, wait a second. I'm not even stoned today and that took me a minute.
My God.
Wait, before we reveal our guest and our topic, just realized everyone already knows the topic because these podcasts have titles. Then they also know the guest too. So I'm just going to get on with it. I so desperately want to talk about the new cast of Real Housewives of New York. We forgot to bring it up last week. This show, to me, and I'm never like this, you know, I watch clips of everything. I don't watch full television shows anymore, except for, you know, the occasional Drag Race or whatever. This show is such a home run. And when they announced that they were replacing the entire cast, I instinctively thought, what a horrific idea. You know, this is a tried and true brand, blah, blah, blah. Within the first 5 minutes when it started, the first thing I thought to myself was every housewife on every other iteration has now lost their negotiating power because they've just proven that they could replace an entire cast.
Oh, you think so?
Many of them. Oh, I think so fully. I think that it was so good. You know, relatable, that's always a question mark. I mean, are wealthy people ever that relatable? But these actual women of means were, I can't believe I'm using this word because I make fun of it after network calls. I have to be honest. They are all truly aspirational, truly self-made, truly, truly fierce people. It's sort of like in that spirit, like having five Bethanies on the show. And I'm being serious. Like they're all funny in their own way. They're all like super accomplished. And it was a very cunning move, I thought, on Bravo's part to leave the drama in the first episode as something very surface. You know, they're arguing about ditching someone at a restaurant. They're arguing about cheese and a cheese platter. And I think it was on purpose. I mean, I know it was on purpose because I think this sort of like toxic and occasionally like violent and aggressive behavior on these shows, I do think that people are, I don't think they're done with it, but I think they need it in much smaller doses than they did before, because not just on Housewives, but on all, in reality in general, it's just that sort of toxicity, I think, has peaked in favor of what I watch now on Sunday nights with this new cast is sort of what And Just Like That wants to be. It's the real version of that.
I agree that it's what And Just Like That wants to be, but is sadly not.
And I want to drink with all of these women. I thought there were some I liked more than others. I'm not ready to reveal those choices yet because it could take a turn and we could be fixing the show before the summer's over. But I truly loved it, and I just couldn't. They freshened up the whole genre for me, honestly. Because there was a time 2 or 3 years ago where I was like, this is dead. Housewives is dead, but it's not. It's women who were inspired by the programming growing up or in their 20s, aspired to be those women.
And now they are
a fresher, I'm going to say more accomplished version of some of those women. And I just thought it was great. And full disclosure, I have a relation. I was a producer on season 2 of Real Housewives of New York. And I loved everyone on it. And I have nothing but love for all of them, none of whom would actually remember who the fuck I was, because season 2 was around the time of the Civil War, from what I recall.
You were drinking a Long Island iced tea.
It was in a Long Island iced tea era. But I love the show. I mean, I'm a reality producer. And when I got the job there, I was like, wow, this is also a home run. But this was, I couldn't believe how much I liked it. I really was surprised because we've been doing this sort of television for so long that I was ready to roll my eyes for 60 minutes. And instead I was like, with each introduction, I was pulled in for real. And now I'm a regular viewer.
There's a lot of mixed reviews. I am reserving judgment because, yes, you have an aspirational life. That's great. Like, when I need to watch you be like decimated by something and then build yourself back up. That's what I like watching people in fight or flight mode. And that's because I'm sick and mentally ill. And like, and it's something I say to people a lot is that they're like, you like thrive in chaos. And I'm like, yes, because my entire job is watching people in flight or fight, like fight or flight mode. Like, people,
I feel responsible for that. I feel like when you were in high school, I was producing the programming that turned you into a monster.
You were, but like, it's that thing where we deal in, like, I've watched people be in absolute chaos and then have to deal with them.
Oh, sure.
Like, people on scripted television, like, pay an actor a lot of money to make it look like they're that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, to make it look like they're in fight or flight mode. Like, we have to deal with it in real life. I'm interested to see what happens. My opinion could change
in a couple of weeks. Who knows? But I feel like it's theirs to fuck up. Right.
What I will say to you is that, and I probably shouldn't say that much about it, but what I will say to you is that when the two, Erin, who I think is like, I'm into her. I feel like she's like, I like her interviews.
Mm-hmm.
She, when her and that Brit, like basically Mandy Moore, go back into that other room to like resolve their conflict, it left much to be desired. I will say
sure.
that. However, it's the first episode. I'm like, no one knows how to be. The whole first season of a show is like the people learning how to be on TV. Are we wrong? Or am I right? Or am I right?
You are 100% right. But what I also loved about this was that they
threw them right into being in conflict with each other.
Well, no. I think that the fact that some of them know each other well, but many of them don't, I feel like they were honest about it. And I feel like as viewers, that's something we've always known was happening when they assemble the Spice Girls on a show like this.
Yes.
And that's what this was, where some people were like, I've never been to Jenna's apartment before. I've only hung out with this one once or twice, blah, blah, blah. It was obvious who didn't know each other well and was obvious who did. And they sort of came clean about it. And that's part of, you know, the experiment of this show. They're not pretending it's five or six very, very best friends. They're just copping to like, these are some women who know each other. They're connected in some way, but this isn't the Brady Bunch. And you're getting to watch, you know, that's the fun of the show. It's like you're getting to watch which friendships will succeed and which will fail. And that's it. And I love Jenna Lyons' closet. And I think I might love her too. I mean, I think that she's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in J. Crew. And I think that she is kooky as fuck, which is my favorite kind of person. So
I'm nervous that there's not enough kookiness. She's batshit, which I like, but then there's the rest of them are all trying to be the one that's like sane. And I'm like, that's not.
Yeah, but it's episode one. They're still playing the character that they think that they're going to play. But as we know, they are just onions. And each week, a layer gets peeled and people start crying.
You're right. And it's unfair also because I feel like they've been on the press cycle for so long before the show came out. And so it's like the expectation is very high.
Yes, the bar is high and they sort of didn't even try to exceed it. Like that's why I feel like it was deliberate, where they were like, we've seen everyone fighting on all these franchises for many years. We're just going to start this one out as chill as possible and talk about cheese and get to meet these people. And literally, you know, the first episode's out 1 minute and for one minute. And then everyone on Potomac is on TMZ beating the living shit out of each other.
Truly chokeslamming each other through tables. Yeah. No, I'm excited to see where it goes. I love a Housewives. So it's like, I'm lining up. Like Salt Lake City started, I was first one in line to watch the show. So I'm excited to see. I love watching these interpersonal conflicts and like people becoming really good friends and then them falling out. And that, like, I love even like Tamara being back on OC. I'm like, love it. Everyone hates it. I'm like, I love it. Cause like, I just love people that like already are in the mix with each other. But anyway, final thing, guys, if you haven't bought a candle, like there's like three left, so like there are a few left and then we will be sold out. So like by the time this airs, we might be sold out, just telling you. So if you haven't bought a candle yet, this is your last chance. It really is your final warning,
final
before you have or subjected to buying a Long Island iced tea mix set, okay?
Which will taste like the candle, probably.
Which will taste disgusting.
The candles do not smell disgusting. They smell like clean linens. They're delight.
Yes. But I'm saying like think about the next thing we're subjecting you to, like get in now. Okay.
Hurry up.
Speaking of disgusting.
let's get into it.
Get into it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, it's time to welcome someone who has been here before and yet is somehow again here for the first time. We recorded an episode about Aubrey O'Day's face that went off the rails. It will be available on our Patreon when that eventually happens. His name is Eric Arnson. He's one of my best friends. I met him on my first job ever in New York City, Iron Chef America's final season. And he's the funniest person I know. And together we're mentally unwell. Welcome, Eric.
Where am I? I'm like in a little box. What's going on? This is crazy.
So we're prepped and ready to tackle.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
Christina Aguilera.
Christina
for those
Maria
that you don't know.
Aguilera.
What's her middle name?
Middle name Maria. Maria.
Maria.
Is it really?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Christina Maria Aguilera. All of her names end with an A. Hmm. And you know what they
wow
say.
Wow. No, I don't.
Know what to say. I have no idea. I was hoping someone would fill that in. I'm sure someone has a saying for it.
I'm sure there's like a musical joke that's got to that, you know, like maybe some of her songs end in an A as well, or at least maybe that's what she her like wants it to be. Maybe she wants it to be that note, and it's maybe five or six notes at the same time. So we can get into that as well.
She does love a run. She does love a run.
She's a runner. She's a track star for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start here. I'm going to regret asking this question to people younger than me, but let's just do it. What is your first memory of Christina Maria Aguilera?
Mine was the Genie in a Bottle music video. Obviously, Eric and I are like the exact correct age to be right in the like crosshairs of your Britney Spears's, your Christina Aguilera's, your NSYNC's, your Backstreet Boys, like two.
And unfortunately,
two young
your Jessica Simpson's too are thrown in. Yeah. Yeah. You just gotta roll with the punches on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were like
Jessica's left out of the whole. It was Britney, Christina, Jessica, as far as I was concerned. And Jessica, however she ruined, I mean, that of the three of them is in some ways the person who needs fixing the most. But she was a force to be reckoned with.
Oh,
yes,
oh yeah,
does.
Chris, she absolutely does. Especially there's been definitely a resurgence. I know we're getting into another potential episode, which I'd be happy to be back for. where Jessica Simpson's performances has been in the cultural zeitgeist, especially of TikTok, where she is just like wailing and you're not really sure what song it's from, but you know her heart's in it. Yeah. So, but at least she has her shoes. So there's that.
She's like a bajillionaire.
Jessica Simpson's, her singing ability has declined as the years have gone on.
I mean, the least talented of the three of them, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
Nick Lachey's dick ruined her. Everyone that Nick Lachey fucks turns into a social and pop culture pariah. Look at Vanessa. You all want to kill her for that stupid show, Love is Blind, that I've never seen? And people want to murder her.
Yeah.
As I've said on this podcast, like I've run her name through the mud on this podcast. If she ever sees me in person, if she spit in my face, I should just take it and just be like, I deserve that because I have destroyed her on this podcast.
It's on site is what?
To quote Eric, it's on site. Like if she saw me and spit directly into my mouth, I should just turn around and walk the other way and say thank you so much. And just
be like, you know, fair, you know.
Yeah. But Christina Aguilera grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a stone's throw away from where Chris DeRosa grew up. Mm-hmm. Someone who has an A at the end of one of his names, not three.
You're always trying to be here, even back then.
To answer your question, I remember the Genie in a Bottle music video. This is like right as Britney's coming to fame. We have Christina bopping on in there with a better voice, with a mm-hmm good song. Mm-hmm. And then we were like the prime like targets for like her early career. Dirty, Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What were the other really good songs? Fighter.
Mm.
What were her other really oh my God,
Fighter.
The Voice Within, a great song that is very overlooked by like so many other like people, but I think is a great ballad.
Mm-hmm.
What other songs did she have that were really good? Oh, and then obviously like Back to Basics, but I was like, we were older by then.
I mean, not in my spirit. I love that album. In my opinion, that's one of her best albums ever. Because it was also, the package was there, you know? And it even kind of graduated into the burlesque movie. Like, it was very similar to that whole aesthetic and that whole vibe. So that was my favorite experience. I also remember, I don't know if I remember her before or after this, but I remember when she sang Reflection, which made no sense.
From the Mulan movie, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember when she did a Christmas song that you kind of forgot what the meaning of Christmas was because there wasn't a lot of words going on, just a lot of oohs and ahs. So I remember that as
what
well.
What is it called?
Honestly, who knows? It might have been Oh Holy Night.
I always regretted that when Madonna kissed Britney at the MTV Awards, that we never really got to fully see her kissing Christina. And people forget that she was even there.
She was
there. And I think
it's
if people
Christina
had seen it, we might not be fixing her.
I think the control room was like, we're going to just pan away for a second. we don't need to see all that.
It really is, because that's what's funny is like Britney and Madonna did go through the ringer, and like Christina really didn't get the flack that either of the blondes did whenever that happened.
No, it's like she wasn't even there.
She's like, can you kiss me again? And they're like, all right.
They're like, the number's over.
They were much more interested in shooting Justin's reaction than the kiss with Christina.
Mm, yeah. Wow. That was really a cultural reset.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of burlesque, Dominic, I feel like obviously you hold a, you know, flame in your heart for Christina a little bit because she starred opposite your queen Cher.
Yes, in one of the pivotal burlesque. Dramatic roles of the century is Allie in Burlesque. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. In the Golden Globe Best Film nominated film, Burlesque is what we should say.
One of
Much
the best things
the
she ever did.
Surprise of everybody. Oh, I think she was great in it. I think Cher was great in it. And it's funny because my first memories of her were from when
the
I
Mickey
was.
Mouse Club.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Was when I was a producer at Ricky Lake and we would watch TRL every day. We were obsessed with it. And her and Britney and Jessica were dominating. And that was also when Believe by Cher came out. And so I was always annoyed when I saw one of these little blonde girls on TRL. I was like, they should just have Cher on the show, which was a nonsensical idea because she was at the time the age I am now, actually, when Believe came out. And I love that I associate Cher with Christina because they both Cher's comeback came at the same time that Christina debuted, 98, 99. So I sort of they've always been intertwined. And so when Burlesque came out, I thought, of course. The universe was seeing what I was seeing at the same time. They belonged together. Wagon wheel watusi.
Yeah. Like I loved that movie so much. It is such a gay movie. It is such just like oozing with homosexuality. It's just like delicious in that regard. And Stanley Tucci's in it as well,
Speaking of homosexuality.
Yeah, speaking of homosexuality, like a better gay than I am. Like, seriously. Like, I could take some tips, honestly. Like, he should do a masterclass on how to be gay. Okay, never mind.
He should.
Honestly, I would pay for it.
Same. I think we all have something to learn from Stanley Tucci and how to be gay.
About homosexuality.
Homosexuality.
Well, he gets more gay roles than most gay people do. Yes. So yeah, absolutely.
And what a segue, because we're going to talk about masterclasses when it comes to Christina at some point.
So, well, I'm going right, a segue that we're taking right now. Dominic, Amazing. Are you aware that Christina Aguilera has a masterclass on singing?
I did not know that. I'm assuming the two of you have seen it.
We have
seen it.
We have it memorized. Is it about to be reenacted? Because I'll go to the bathroom.
We've actually implemented some of the tools that she's.
Of course you have.
No, I don't. I actually don't remember anything that she talked about. Just that one section where she was coaching people was so funny, and it didn't happen in real life. That's how funny it was.
First and foremost, I need you to know that in Christina Aguilera's masterclass, she says the word vibrato as vibrato every time.
No.
Red flag one.
Red flag number one. Now, you know what? Actually, let me say very quickly, like for a very long time, I said that she was she had the voice of our generation in the sense that I think that her actual vocal ability is so great that it's like unparalleled. Let me just say that. Can we just say that? Can that be like a statement?
And I would second that. I think that especially of that time, I think that maybe she was She's still a superstar, but I think that her God-given talent was overshadowed by the technical term is the blobbity blah of the end of the century with like the NSYNC Backstreet Boy Britney bullshit. And I think that she got overshadowed the way she did at the Madonna Kiss. I mean, I think it's emblematic of how she was treated, where the producers cared much more about seeing Justin Timberlake's reaction than they did about showing the world Christina kissing Madonna. Yeah. And having the lifeblood sucked out of her the way that she sucked it out of Britney, causing her current state of affairs.
Maybe because it wasn't on camera, then like it didn't happen. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't filmed. Count. Like
right.
The soul was not sucked. You know what I mean?
No, she was just sentenced to work with Adam Levine for 8 years. Could be a fate worse than a conservatorship.
You know, and in that moment, Dominic, she realized, she said, in about 8 to 9 years, mark my words, I will become half robot. And I
desnudate. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And no one will say anything bad about me because I will be part of a machine. And that will be my brand for like 3 years that no one will care about.
I know you guys will have heard this story and I want to know if it's true. Is it true that at Christina Aguilera's high school prom, when they played Genie in the Bottle, everyone in her high school class hated her so much they cleared the dance floor and wouldn't dance to it?
So, Dom, what I heard about that story was that she was somebody's date to their prom. Because I don't think she went to school because nobody went to school in the 90s. Because she was a pop star. So, yeah. But she was somebody's date to their prom. And Genie in the Bottle wasn't out on the radio at the time. So she was saying like, oh, everybody was saying that the song was dumb. I don't think that's true. I think what she was saying, she was probably being like an asshole and was like, this is my song. Blah! Like, do you want me to sing it? And then everyone's like, okay. No. And she's like, and she's like, well, like, it's still my song. And I don't think people gave her the flowers that she thought she was going to get in that moment.
Interesting. We should launch a Fixing Famous People investigation into the Christina Aguilera story.
We absolutely like a cold should. Case.
That should be a Patreon where we all the loose ends from the actual podcast will tie up in a Columbo-like moment. Ooh. On Patreon.
And all of those things will tie up in one string because my freshman year college roommate's father was her guidance counselor. So I already have a source.
Wait.
We have a direct source.
College roommate freshman year, that guy's father was Christina Aguilera's guidance counselor.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I bet he could very easily verify many of the facts.
That's what I'm saying, is that could be a one episode investigation because we could just call him.
I'm already conducting the investigation because if she even had a guidance counselor, that is at least proof that she was enrolled in a high school at some point.
Correct.
That's it. That's the whole first that's episode the investigation of that podcast we're doing about it.
Like, did Christina Aguilera go to school?
We speak with her guidance counselor. Oop, question answered. Episode 2.
All this to say, you know, she comes out with beautiful, but humongous song. Like, you know what I mean? That album was huge. She comes out with Back to Basics, critically acclaimed, like, remember, like, think about
brilliant.
The songs
back
on that
to back,
album. Like,
back-to-back like, monsters. Yes.
Just huge success. And then it's time for her to do a new album. Lady Gaga has come on the scene. There's, mm-hmm. like, new blood in the, you know what I mean? She's not just competing against Britney and, like, other idiots. Like, there's new real, Katy Perry exists now. Rihanna exists now. You know, there's new blood in the wall. There's new blood singing out there that are like ready to go. And she comes out with, isn't it called Bionic? Wasn't that the album?
Yes. Yes. Where she became a robot.
And it was such a disaster that they started calling her Flop Tina. Like, her name went from being X-Tina, which she got from doing the Dirty video, from being like a slutty
triple X, yeah.
Yeah, triple X Tina, to being Flop Tina, because it was so poorly received.
Well, she was really, the Gaga effect was terrible on her because she waited, quite honestly, she waited too long because her debut album was 99. I just am looking at the Wikipedia page. I did not realize that Mi Reflejo, which won some Latin Grammy Awards, I might add, was her second album. It was released the year after her debut album, Stripped, which should not be underestimated. It is a masterpiece, Stripped.
Yes.
From tip to tail, absolutely 100% pop filth. It is an STD laden album, one after the other, and it is musically fantastic. That came out in 2002. She then waited 4 years for Back to Basics, another masterpiece. Mm. But the problem was she then waited another 4 years for Bionic. And in between 2006 and 2010,
oh wow, there were
everything. Everything changed. Yeah. Gaga, what was Gaga? 2008. So the whole world changed. So Gaga, who many would say was a ripoff of Christina Aguilera, eclipsed her because she took too long. She should have popped up somewhere album-wise right after Gaga came out, but she waited too long. And when she finally resurfaced, she was a RoboCop. It was just over.
And honestly, you're right. It really went down the rails from there because then she became like cotton candy in one album. Like she literally was just like a floating cloud. And that was the like, tonight I wanna touch a bunny. And it was just like so bizarre. It was literally just grabbing out of the hat of the suggestion box of whose line is it anyway. And it's like, this is going to be my persona for 2-3 years. And like nothing was working.
I truly think that she was in a panic. I think that Gaga coming out actually fucked with her head and her management's head because there were a couple of good songs on Bionic, like Not Myself Tonight is a great song, but I remember when she released the video, I was like, what are we doing here? Like we went from full filth whore of Strip to then Back to Basics, which was just like a throwback, like so many vocal, that tour that she did after Back to Basics, I will never forget. She was so, it was her moment. She was someone who was like, going to entertain us for decades and then came and Bionic she was in and the, was like,
well,
what?
Well, remember in Back to Basics, she had like the, like, it was like the USO. Like, remember in the one video,
yes,
she's like
Candyman.
Candyman. Yeah. Like, it was very like 50s housewife, like bops. And it was like really, like 40s, which I like.
Also like, whore, was, but also yeah, whore. Yeah, like, yeah. One-stop shop, make your cherry pop, make your panties drop. It was fantastic. That whole, it was great. She just waited too long. It's always, always a danger.
And Chris, similar to A Star Is Born, even with Christina, it's more like A Star Is Porn. The Burlesque album really was another album that she had. It's very similar to Lady Gaga, how like The Star Is Born in your, I remember you were the first one to say this, how it was like a whole album that she was able to put out, you know, like in between, yeah, like
with the movie,
Joanne and whatever. Yeah. Like with the movie. So that was like another thing in its own right. So somebody had the great suggestion to get her to do that Wagon Wheel Watusi with Stanley Tucci shaking her coochie in that movie. And it was great.
The track listing of Stripped. Oh my God.
No.
And this is the thing. Fighter, beautiful. Soar. Soar is a great song. Good Lord.
Yeah.
What album is The Voice Within on? Is that Stripped?
No. That's on Stripped. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that song. I think it's one of her best and I'm very underrated. I mean,
she has a catalog. I will spell it CATALOGUE. That is how fancy it is. There are so many.
Is there a
hits.
G in that?
She, yes, LOGUE, catalogue.
Oh, yes, Alug. Yes.
Yeah, she but was like.
She somehow can't harness that power anymore.
No,
like I think
she got eclipsed.
So,
is what happened.
She's
she got
so
eclipsed.
Turdy. Like she's such a Chris. Turd now. Like I think she's like not
want to get
Chris,
turdy.
You, yeah,
yeah.
Chris, get you, turdy. You mentioned You mentioned she can't harness that talent anymore, but I can tell you what she can harness, okay. A dildo at Pride.
You will have to elaborate. The headline is Christina Aguilera wears Hulk outfit with strap-on dildo during LA Pride event. I think this was last year. It was last year.
And the things, the first line of the actual article says the ultimate dirty accessory. It's so, this is the thing. She does things like this and she thinks it's like gonna, like she has an, her agent has to be from like 1945. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that her agent is like.
Just show some tits and ass. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Like it's so outdated. Her moves are so outdated and it's so obviously a 60-year-old telling you how to be cool for 15-year-olds. And it's like, that's a huge problem for her. Cause she's like five steps behind everyone else. And she like is trying to compete with people similar to something that we talked about in the unaired Madonna episode that we did before she like went to the hospital and almost died.
I believe she went to the hospital cause we didn't air that episode. Yeah, and she realized that she was,
she had more to live for.
How dare you? How dare you both? She like, Christina was like, is like competing with people that she doesn't need to compete with and is like trying to be like cool and young and hip. And it's like, no, that's actually what we like about you is that you're not cool and young and hip and that you actually have a really good voice.
An old soul. Yeah. And like.
Well, you know what she's done that she did that was good? Like her, she should have stayed on The Voice, first of all. Like that was, I think her leaving The Voice was a mistake because she is an example of a perfect perfectly casted judge for a show like that because she has a great fucking voice. So why wouldn't she be on a show like that? And who cares if she had any hit albums at the time? She could have ridden that until the wheels fell off. I don't know why she left. I don't know why she left. I think that was also a mistake.
Because they wouldn't let her sing.
Well, here's the other point. That's the other thing. Well, she would try to sing. She would try to sing every freaking episode. And they were like, stop. Yeah, and that's the other thing.
She's like, why?
She's a big diva. That's the other part of it is that I think she's like kind of a cunt. You know what I mean? Like, I think she's a big diva. I think she wants to do performances. I think she like really, really, really hardcore. Like, I think she's difficult. Is what I think. And I know I shouldn't call a woman difficult, but like
everywhere I see, after calling her a cunt, I might add. So you're sort of
I think difficult
like misogyny triple crown you're doing here. We're going to have her make you a sandwich next.
Cunt is what it is, but difficult. Oh my God. that's really just pushing it. But Christina is like the voice, like she is. And even like Whitney Houston, you know, like Whitney Houston at the Grammys, like bowed to her after she sang a song of hers. Like she has the chops. She has what's there. It's just like she just misses the mark.
It's the marketing.
She was the heir apparent. She was Whitney's heir apparent. I'm sorry. Yes. She was like she had the pipes. Like she was better than Britney, better than Jet, better than all of them. She sings better than Gaga. So what the fuck happened? Is it as simple as she just waited too long? And when Gaga came out, she should have just been like, hold up, bitch, and released an album in 2008?
I think that she thinks very highly of herself. And not that she shouldn't, because she is extremely talented. But I think she's really like thinks that she's like the best thing that ever lived. And I think she probably has yes people all around her. I think that she fumbled the ball hardcore because she was like, I'm just gonna chill. And it's like, no, you need to like, her moves are not smart. The moves may be like Jagger, but they're not smart.
But like Jagger, they're in a K hole somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, literally. And she, I think that she really has, it's sad because when you have such talent that like at a time had such star power that I feel like she doesn't have the star power anymore that she used to have, which is really sad because she has such talent, like raw talent.
But what's so funny is that if you name the best voices of the past couple of decades, her name will always come up, but she's just not it's like she's still one of the best singers. She's just not the celebrity that she's supposed to be in.
The package is gone. Yeah.
You know, I know that I keep droning on about Gaga coming out in 2008 and she was absent, but as I'm looking at her bio now, I do see that she gave birth to her first child in 2008. So I just want to correct what I said earlier, is that not only should she have released an album then, but obviously this is proof positive that children ruin lives. I mean, it's like, if you're going to be a celebrity, you shouldn't have children. You have to choose.
I mean,
you just have to choose.
All this is to culminate in her being like the headliner of Pride this year in New York City Pride and performing. And like last year doing a weird LA Pride performance where she's dressed as the Hulk and has a dildo.
Another kind of headliner. Yeah.
Like, again. And she's like, it's just very like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? It's just like another example of like, why? Like,
well,
stop,
she's
trying
doing
to just do
what
shock value stuff. Like, you don't need to do that. Like,
but that's what a middle-aged diva does. It's part of the playbook, is go to the gays. It's the advice that I gave to Camilla Parker Bowles. It's like,
it is.
She's tried to get back in the good graces of mainstream pop, and they're not having her because that baby of hers, that first child, ruined her career. So she's never been able to claw her way back up, save for, you know, her brief blip on Moves Like Jagger. So she's going to the gays, because we will always, I mean, look at all the people who haven't had top 10 hits in decades, who are fantastic vocalists, wonderful artists, but you only see them in June. Taylor Dane, Deborah Cox, where are these people the other 11 months of the year? And the respect should be put on all of their names, but I do fear, unfortunately, that Christina is one of those artists now. Like, we'll never turn our backs on someone who, well, not someone who released the song Dirty with more than one R. I mean, that meant something to us.
It did.
We love
it's
an overuse
something
of
to
any
me.
Consonant. It's a gay thing. Girl. It was like a precursor.
Yeah. Yep. Should have seen me in my basement dancing to that like a whore.
It's time to move into our pitches.
I think it is. My pitch going into this episode was going to be past tense.
Oh, wow.
And Dominic's going to say this is a perfect Chris pitch, and this is why I'm not doing it. I was going to have Christina do Back to Back to Basics, where she then goes back to just like being a good singer, not being a slut, like not being a hoe, not trying to like have dildo Hulk costumes, but just like making good music that's like for the masses, that can be played in a grocery store, that can be a top 40 single, that she can just like, you know. However, I feel like I've pitched that too many times now, and it's what I said to do for Adam Levine to do. And so that's not my pitch. My pitch is for Christina Aguilera to reboot the Divas Live performance, but it's going to be a primetime show, network television, basically like The Voice, but without the competition aspect of it, where she sings and brings on all of these people that are like the best voices in America. Like all the people that would be performing at the Grammys that are amazing singers. They're coming on, and the two of them are going to sing ballads together. They're going to do duets. She's going to have musical guests come on. And it's basically just like a variety show, but it's Christina Aguilera and other very good singers that don't get the respect that they deserve, and kind of like don't really have a medium anymore to sing all the time. I feel like the big network, like primetime shows, like don't exist other than The Voice and America's Got Talent, which is now just like little kids doing weird things for people to like hit the golden buzzer for. It's going to be divas all the time, doing riff offs, doing songs together, singing each other's songs, doing duets, and just really like, remember that picture of like the Divas Live thing where it's like Shania Twain, like
Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, and they're all in like Mariah, and they all look insane. And it's just like, why was this group of people put in the same like vicinity of each other ever, let alone to all perform together? Like, that's what I want to see all the time. There's like TikTok, like that's like a social media like firestorm waiting to happen. But it's Christina Aguilera as the anchor, and she just brings on like crazy ass other divas, and they just are divas to like Mariah comes on and they are insane together. Do you know what I mean? Mariah Carey like gets carried around the stage the entire time, and Christina Aguilera fucking loves it. You know, they just like Mariah Carey doesn't lift her own arms up to sing the song, and like is being like paraded around and with her group of little men that carry her around, and it's hilarious. And she's just kind of like the resident diva of this show. And then it's a way for these people that actually are good singers, unlike many of the like new talent, sure, you know, in music that can't sing, to come on and be like, remember that we like are good and we're all tuning in. And it's just like,
I know
basically
I am.
Like, yeah, it's basically exactly like what all the gays want is like this kind of a show. And it's insane and it's funny. And there's like almost a variety show, but it's not a variety show. And that is my pitch.
All right. I will not, as I'm routinely accused of, I have no plans of invalidating this pitch because I think it is wonderful. I am,
oh my God.
You know, with Christina, who are we? This is the thing. For her gay audience, no fixing needs to happen. Like she could, she could balance her third baby on the dildo in public and the gays would be like, we'll see you on the pier next year. Like we're with her forever. So if we're going to fix this woman, it's gotta be like, you know, for not the for straight, the gay audience, but for a respectable one.
Yeah.
So I want to see her in much smaller venues. I want her to sort of do what Patti LuPone is doing now and just perform at smaller venues like the Carlisle or 54 Below. And I want the name of the tour to be You're Welcome. That's the title of the show. And the lineup of this is every other song that she sings in this program is going to be a hit song from someone who was very obviously influenced by her. Ariana, Jessie J, Gaga, Demi Lovato, all these people who were, they couldn't deny having been influenced by Christina Aguilera. And I would like to, every other song will be one of her hits, sort of like a stripped down nightclub version. And then all the people we've listed are very talented in their own right. I personally think that Christina Aguilera vocally is more talented than all of them. So we'll call it You're Welcome because she's just saying you're welcome to all of these people who she's influenced and shadily singing their biggest hits as every other song in her show, as if to say, this is how you should have done it. Like, I would love to hear her sing Thank You Next, Cruel for the, what is it? Cool for the Summer? What
cool
is that?
For the Demi Lovato. I mean, Cruel for the Summer, same thing.
I texted Cruel Summer. Good Lord, I'm not even stoned this week, and I still fucked it up. But I want to hear all of their hits. I want to hear her sing them because a lot of times when all of these artists sing, I think of Christina instantly because it was an inimitable style that should have lasted for decades in the mainstream landscape and just didn't for some reason. Well, it's not for some reason. It's because of her child, her firstborn, who has to bear the responsibility for tanking his mother's career.
I was nervous that Dom, your suggestion was going to be to kill the kid, and then I didn't know where we were going to take it from there.
That was my backup.
Send him away.
And that's Dominic. My pitch, the You're Welcome tour. Christina Aguilera says, you're welcome. That's the tour.
The smaller venue is, I think, key to this entire thing.
Yes.
And that you are on to something. But imagine Christina in like Webster Hall, electrifying. Great. You know what I mean? Like imagine her at Terminal 5, electrifying.
Yeah.
See, I think these rings are too big. I think
you're saying it's too big. I think that's okay. Regard. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I'm revising your pitch for you, but
I want when she swings that filthy fucking wig of hers, I want a bead of sweat to fly off of it. Yeah.
You want to be hit by that red mic stand that she carries everywhere.
Oh, I want to get dirty with Christina. That's it. You're welcome.
Yeah. Eric, it's your time.
I am going to say that I would love to see Christina in a stripped off Broadway. So Dom, I side with you.
Work.
I think that your pitch is so fitting and so humbling. I think that was really the kernel of what we got to today, that she really needs to take a good look at that reflection.
And really
be like, okay, like, here's what I need to do, and here's who I need to perform for. Yeah, and I love the idea about calling back to other people with their songs.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And who is that girl I see? Because, like, it's not...
Because it's like, not who I was hits. In 2002.
Wow. A beautiful pitch, Dominic. A beautiful pitch.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the compliment. I always do well with the... filthier of the fixables. I feel like I've been in the mud so much that I know how to crawl out of it, and I'm gonna bring drag her by her shit stained dreads right up to where I am now.
Drag her by that Hulk dildo and show her what's going on.
Yeah. Eric, where can people find you?
So all of my handles, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, is Eric with a K today. Back when I thought I was going to have some kind of show, and that didn't happen. So that's just who I am. And it's a great way just to know how to spell my name, because if you spell it with a C, I will find you. And who knows what will happen after that.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Dominic, where can people
find
you?
I can be found at my website at dominterry.com, where you can link to all my socials at Dominic Pupa. And I know that it's the summer, but I'll be announcing my holiday show dates very soon. And I may be coming to your city this December.
I can't wait for your holiday show. The Pride show is amazing. Every show that you do is amazing. And I laugh really hard at them. So I can't wait.
Well, I think you're amazing. So amazing that I want you to share with the world where we can find you.
You're so stupid. You can find me at The Krista Rosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. Write us a review and let us know who you want us to fix next. Thank you so much. I wish you both well. And as always, where's Shelley? Goodbye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.